been good to us through the years. Boy, when you look at what we have to look forward to in Christ Jesus, He is really good to us. What He has planned for the future, the new heaven, the new earth, the millennial reign of Christ, all those things we have to look forward to, God has truly been good. Let's go to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. This morning I have felt led of the Lord to start a series of messages that I will be preaching in Sunday mornings here for the next few Sundays on our wonderful Bible. Our wonderful Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. 2 Peter. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now thanking you for your great and mighty works. Thank you for giving us your word to guide us, to lead us, to strengthen us, to show us the way to come to you. We just thank you for the great salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And we pray now as we look into the truth of the Bible and see the Bible for what it really is, that our hearts will be drawn closer to you. And for those who may not know Christ, they will come to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, we love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just read you a little thing here that I found that came out in 2011. I think that it probably would be maybe worse. I hope not, but it probably would be worse now, 4 years later. It says here in this article by the Gallup poll, 3 in 10 Americans interpret the Bible literally, saying it is the actual Word of God. That is similar to what Gallup has measured over the last 2 decades, but down from the 1970s and 80s. A 49% plurality of Americans say the Bible is the inspired Word of God, but that it should not be taken literally. Consistently, the most common view in Gallup's nearly 40-year history of this question, another 17% consider the Bible an ancient book of stories recorded by man. These results are based upon their study, the Gallup poll. The high point in the percentage of Americans favoring a literal interpretation of the Bible was 40%, recorded in 1980 and 1984. The low point was 27% in 2001. So only 3 in 10 Americans say they take the Bible literally. Maybe that's some of the reason why we're facing the adversity that we're facing today. Only 3 in 10 Americans, according to that poll. Here's what some of our forefathers have said about the Bible. Patrick Henry said, "The Bible is worth all other books which have been printed." And then George Washington, our first president, as you know, said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Abraham Lincoln, he said, "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man." He also said, "I am profoundly engaged in reading the Bible. take all of this book and you can, by reason and the balance, by take all of this book that you can by reason and the balance by faith, and you will live and die a better man. It is the best book which God has given to man. Robert E. Lee said, in all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength. Theodore Roosevelt said, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. Woodrow Wilson said, a man has deprived himself of the best there is in the world who has deprived himself of the Bible. And then Ulysses S. Grant said this, my advice to Sunday schools, no matter what their denomination is, hold fast to the Bible as the sheet anchor of your liberties. Write its precepts in your heart and practice them in your lives. To the influence of this book, we are indebted for the progress made in true civilization, and to this we must look as our guide in the future. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And then also there was Daniel Webster, Webster's Dictionary. He said, if there is anything in my thoughts or style to commend, the credit is due to my parents for instilling in me an early love of the Scriptures. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we in our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. And then there are some others that weren't our founding fathers, but they made statements about the Bible. Charles Dickens, the New Testament is the very best book that ever was or ever will be known in the world. Sir Isaac Newton said, there are more sure marks of authenticity in the Bible than any profane history. I have a fundamental belief in the Bible as the Word of God written by men who were inspired. I study the Bible daily. And then Napoleon, way back to Napoleon, he said, the Bible is no mere book, but a living creature with a power that conquers all that oppose it. There are many quotes here that we could read of those in the past, but I wonder today if we would look to see if we could find some of the great people in our society today, if we would have those same quotes. Remember Ronald Reagan, President Ronald Reagan made some great quotes about the Bible, and he instituted the year of the Bible and tried to encourage Americans to read the Bible every day and to read through the Bible. And yet it seems like since Ronald Reagan, some of those so-called greats have not said much about the Bible. Maybe that's the reason we are in the condition that we are in today, because we have turned away from the Word of God. Well, we've looked at kind of what some of the people of the past have said, but let's look at one who said about the Bible this morning. The most important person who talked about the Bible. Let's look at what Jesus said about the Bible. Let's take a few moments and look at that. We're going to start, first of all, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. I'm just looking at some of the verses of what Jesus said about the Bible. He said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. Law and the prophets referring to the Old Testament scriptures. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus said about the Bible, none of it is going to pass away. We know the scripture, the grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Here he was at the temptation, being faced by the devil at the temptation. And he answered and said in verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what Jesus said, every word concerning the Word of God. Look in John chapter 12 and verse 47. John chapter 12, verse 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So notice Jesus said that he will be judged by the word of God. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 27. In Luke chapter 24, verse 27, it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then look in verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. That's a very important thing for us to see here. Jesus is referring to the Word of God. He's saying that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And here we find that he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. That's an important thing for us to see. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See, the Bible is a spiritual book. We read there in 2 Peter chapter 1 that the Holy Spirit moved upon the heart of men to give them the Word of God. About 40 men over a period of 1500 to 1600 years, these 40 men were moved on by the Holy Spirit to write what they wrote, and they wrote what God wanted them to write. We'll be talking more about that later on, but not today. And as we look at the wonderful Bible that we have, but we need to understand that the Bible is a spiritual book. And the Bible teaches us that when God created Adam and Eve, he placed them in a beautiful garden to take care of it. He put in the midst of the garden, he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he put the tree of life. They could freely eat of the tree of life, but God told them they were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis 2:17, he said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God gave them a choice. God didn't want robots. He didn't want people that were just programmed to do exactly as he wanted them to do, and they would just move like robots. Everything God wanted them to do, just do everything God wants, just God's way. God didn't want robots. God wanted people. He created people with choice. And Adam and Eve, as you read the Bible, you understand that Satan tempted Eve and she in Genesis 3, and she partook of that forbidden fruit. She gave to Adam, and he did willingly eat. He willingly disobeyed God. And the Bible tells us in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, Adam, sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And man that day became spiritually dead. The natural man. He does not have the ability to take in the things of the Word of God. He's spiritually dead. So this book requires an understanding of the Spirit. Well, Jesus explained that. If you look in John chapter 3, that's exactly what Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, according to verse 1. He was a very religious man. He was a man that was figured to be very righteous and upstanding, and if anyone would be acceptable to God, it would be Nicodemus. Well, Jesus answered him in verse 3 and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." There must be a new birth. And Jesus goes to explain this new birth in this chapter. He says, Nicodemus saith unto him in verse 4, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Nicodemus was focusing upon physical birth when Jesus said that he must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus answered in verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He has to have a spiritual birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's a fleshly birth. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's a spiritual birth. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And notice now how he changes it from "I say unto thee," and he gives it here. He says, "except a man be born again," in verse 3. But now in verse 7, he says, "ye." And any time you see a "ye" in the King James, it is always plural. It means everybody. That's why God put it that way. The modern versions want to take that out, and we can't tell whether it's talking to everybody or it's talking to just you personally. If he said, "you must be born again," then we're thinking again, he's talking just to Nicodemus. But here, "ye must be born again." That's everybody must have this spiritual birth. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." This is not something that is like a flesh birth. This is a spiritual birth. This is something that you can't see. It must be done by faith, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things?" Verily, verily, he stamped this with a double amen. Whenever a double amen, this is the same word that's translated amen. It means verily or truly or truth. And when it's put up at the beginning like that, it's saying this is absolute truth. This is absolute truth. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Numbers chapter 21, the children of Israel had sinned against God. God sent fiery serpents in to bite the people, and many of the people were dying. And God told Moses to make a serpent of brass and set it up on a pole. And anyone who looked at that serpent of brass would say, "Why would a serpent be a picture of Christ?" It's because he was going to become sin for us. He was going to take our sins upon himself and set that serpent on a pole, set it up. Anybody who just looks at it will be instantly healed of the serpent bite. So he said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." See, he opened their eyes back there to, for their understanding. And the only way that we can have our eyes open to understand the Word of God. Some people say to me, I read the Bible, but I cannot understand it. I don't understand it. Well, there's one of two reasons. First reason is that you don't have this spiritual birth. If you don't have the spiritual birth, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are going to have great difficulty in understanding this Bible. And that's the first reason. The second reason is growing in the Lord. If you take a new believer, it's going to take time to understand the Bible. And over a process of time and studying the Bible and hearing the preaching of the Word of God, you understand more and more. But your understanding gets opened as time goes on with the Word of God. And as we get into it and study it, the Bible says to search the Scriptures. That's what Jesus said. We'll look at that in a moment. But the Bible is very clear that it takes an opening of the understanding. It takes a spiritual birth to understand the Bible. And we need to realize that. And so for someone who has difficulty in the Bible, it may be because sometimes it's because of just not growing in the Lord or not spending the time in the Word that we should. And for others, it's because they don't have the spiritual birth and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They can't do that because they have no spiritual birth. It requires an opening of the understanding to study the Bible. Sometimes we're hindered in Bible study because of our own rejection of God's Word and the things that He has taught in His Word. And He's taught us that we ought not to do this and we should do this, and we are not obedient to that, and it dulls our understanding. Hebrews chapter 5, it dulls our understanding of the Word of God. So the Bible is a spiritual book. We need to have a spiritual birth to understand it. Jesus said in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." The Bible is clear in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It tells us in 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. And we're all headed, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, for an eternal death in a lake of fire, a spiritual death. We're talking about spiritual things here. Spiritual death of an eternity in a lake of fire. Adam and Eve didn't die the day that they ate physically, the day that they ate of that fruit. They died spiritually. They were headed for a devil's hell forever. But in Genesis 3:15, God promised a Redeemer. God promised that He would send one who would pay the price for their sin. And the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God promised to send a Redeemer. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 10:9-10, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And so our understanding of the Word of God can be opened if we will put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to receive us. To save us, to receive Him as our Lord and Savior. Go over to John chapter 5 and verse 39. As we continue on with what Jesus said about the Bible, He said in John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." Jesus said we should search the Scriptures. We should be in the Word. In John chapter 15, and verse 3, John chapter 15 and verse 3. "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. clean through the Word. Jesus is emphasizing the Word of God. Back to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42. 21:42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. He's going back and quoting out of the Old Testament. Jesus did that over and over. If you read through the New Testament, he's often quoting passages out of the Old Testament. Jesus referred to the Scriptures often, the Old Testament Scriptures. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. John chapter 7 and verse 38. John chapter 7, verse 38. John 7, 38. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Chapter 10 and verse 35. Chapter 10, verse 35. If he called them gods unto whom the Word of God came, and the Scripture cannot be broken. Jesus said the Scripture cannot be broken. It must. It stands. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 and verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah the prophet prophesied of you hypocrites. Referring again to the Old Testament, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things you do. Corban was a thing where they was a Jewish custom of devoting one's property to God. You could take your property and say, I've devoted it to God. And therefore, since their property was devoted to God, they were free from taking care of their parents. If their parents came and asked for help, they could just say, it is Corban. It is Corban. Been devoted to God. It's going to go to the temple. It's kind of the same thing as, I have a little note here of the Jewish Talmud has countless examples of Jewish traditions that contradict the Scripture. But here's an example. An example of this today would be a wife who neglects her duties to her husband and children in the name of serving the Lord. Or it could be reversed around. Here's a man who says he's so involved with the church that he doesn't take care of his family. He doesn't take care of his responsibilities. That would be the same idea. Well, I'm so devoted to the Lord that your children are going astray. Well, I'm devoted to the Lord. That kind of an idea. This article says Pentecostal preacher Amy Semple McPherson abandoned her husband in order to preach. Amy's associate pastor, Reba Crawford, did the same thing. And this is Corban, because God's Word instructs the wife to be a keeper of home, to love her husband and children, and also the woman is not to usurp authority over the man, to not be in a preaching position. And so they had this custom of Corban, and they could simply say that we don't have to do what the Bible says, the Word of God says, to honor thy father and thy mother, because it's devoted. It's devoted to the temple. as Corbin Jesus said, we've got to go by the Word of God. We can't put our own traditions over the Word of God. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. And it came to pass as the people pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Jesus preached the Word of God. And then in chapter 8, verse 21 of Luke 8, 21. And He answered and said unto them, they told Him that His mother and brethren stand without, desiring to see thee, there in verse 20. And He answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the Word of God and do it. And then chapter 10 of Luke, we find Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus hearing His Word, and she's commended for that. The Bible tells us that this is the one thing that's needful. Mary hath chosen that good part in verse 42, which shall not be taken away from her. And in John 17:17, the verse that we have up here on the window up above, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said that He is the truth. It's all about Him, the Bible. He emphasized the Word of God in Luke chapter 7 and verse 22. Luke 7:22. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. The gospel is preached. Jesus emphasizing the importance of preaching the Word of God. In Luke chapter 24, we know this scripture in Luke chapter 24 and verse 46. 24 and verse 46 of the book of Luke. Verse 46, and He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Then look in chapter 28 of Matthew, the Great Commission, we call it, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You cannot study the Scripture without seeing that Jesus emphasized the Word of God. He emphasized the Word of God. He gave the mighty importance of the Word of God. And Mark chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And again He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that He was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And He told them about the events of the day. No, it says, and He preached the Word unto them. Jesus emphasized the Word over and over. You can't study the New Testament without seeing that Jesus emphasized the importance of the Word of God. Let's go back and finish up here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and just look again at what Peter said here in 2 Peter chapter 1. He said he hadn't followed cunningly devised fables. This isn't something made up. It's not made up. He said in verse 16 that he was an eyewitness of the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter walked with the Lord. Peter saw the Lord. He was there when Christ was crucified. He was there when Christ arose from the dead. He came to the tomb after Jesus had arose. had arisen from the dead. He was there with the disciples after that Christ had ascended to heaven. He saw the Lord after he arose from the dead. Peter was an eyewitness of his majesty. He said, I actually saw him. And then in verse 17 and 18, he tells us that he heard the voice of God the Father speak out of heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He said, I heard the voice of God speak out of heaven when we were with him on the holy mount, when he was transfigured there. I heard the voice of God. I saw him. I saw his majesty of Jesus Christ. I heard the voice of God. We saw him transfigured when his garments became sparkling white there on the mountain. And God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Saw that. Heard the voice of God. But he said in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. He said, this Bible is more sure than that. That's what Peter testified. What we have written in these 66 books of the Bible is more sure than seeing and hearing. That's what he told us. He said, whereunto ye do well that you take heed. It would be well for you to take heed. Is this Bible that we have the Word of God? Where did we get it? Can we say that when Jesus said in Matthew 4:4 that man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, was he talking about the every word of this book? Was he talking about that? Is every word of this Bible that I hold in my hand the inspired Word of God? Well, if you stick with me in these messages over the next few Sundays, you'll get the answers to those questions. You'll find out that we have confidence that every word of this Bible is in fact indeed the very Word of God. The Word of God we hold in our hand. And we're going to see that through the next few messages as God leads. Let's pray. Father, we do thank